This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, our next story is actually about cities and the benefits that come from living in one. Does living in a city boost your income over time? And this comes from a CityLab article, which wrote about a new study that tracked an individual's birth city in Britain and their earnings as a working adult.
Yeah, and they basically found that your birth city really does have a sizable effect on how much you earn later in life. So you do end up earning more in your lifetime if you live in a city. And the bigger the city, the bigger your earnings. So the question is really, do cities provide more economic opportunities? Or is it that cities just attract people who are more well off?
The actual survey was done in the UK. Mm-hmm. And found quite clearly that if you're in a bigger city, the more money you make. For instance, it says that if you were born in London in 1971, you will make on average 6.6% more than someone who had been born in Manchester, and 9.3% than somebody who had been born in Liverpool. So it goes on to list many factors that could be at play here: better schooling, better infrastructure, etc. I am curious about the methodology of some of this, though, because if you had been born in London in 1971 and your parents owned the house that you were born in, then you could sell that place now and buy a mansion up outside Newcastle. Wow. Even if it's like a two-bedroom house, so that, you know, your earnings, yes, but I mean, just the capital that you would have already is just that much greater.
And I think to some extent there's a generational thing as well. So if your parents were both professionals, then you yourself would have better access to education, healthcare, and whatnot.
Well, for me, the pull of this story is the fact that, you know, we always talk about, oh, you know, KL is becoming extremely congested. People should just stop trying to move into KL. But, you know, given studies like this, when they do suggest things like, well, when you're in the city, you tend to benefit a lot more over time. Your income goes higher. You have, and so does your offspring. They do eventually reach places in terms of social class where previous generations couldn't. Though, I just wonder if that is still the case today, or in the fact that is KL becoming a city where it locks out opportunities not only for those who might be from the lower class, but from those who might be in the middle class too. Do only certain segments of society, meaning the T20s, are they the only ones that remain and are able to have that chance to grow their income?
Well, yes, absolutely. There's certainly that issue. And then if that is the case, then all the more harder if you're coming from the provinces to the capital city.
Yeah.
Mm. So, I mean, Kuala Lumpur is a capital city. There are opportunities here that simply don't exist in any other town or city outside of Kuala Lumpur. And I did a documentary a while back on homelessness and poverty in Chow Khet area. And I was surprise, shocked to discover just how many people who were living there on beyond borderline circumstances were from East Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And because if you're, I mean, this survey is talking about London to Manchester, that's and the differences are so great. If you are separated from your home by the South China Sea and an expensive flight, you move to a place like Kuala Lumpur where you don't have a support group, you don't know your way around, you are starting from the absolute ground up.
It's such a big decision, so yeah. One that can be very life-changing.
And life-changing, and also talking to the people there, that when they didn't find that the streets were paved with gold, several of them were saying how they were too ashamed to tell back home the situation they were finding themselves in. If you are already established in a city, a capital city, you have advantages that just go beyond anybody from outside.
And inversely, if you're not, urban poverty is actually, I feel, much worse than being rural poverty, because maybe just the cost of living in cities is so vastly greater than those in the rural areas. Yeah. After this, we will be speaking to Lawrence Todd, Director of Research and Development at IDEAS, for his thoughts on this story. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
6:46, you're listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin, Cam and Ayman. We are talking about the benefits, specifically the economic benefits of living in a city. So we're now going to dive in depth into this with Lawrence Todd, Director of Research and Development at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, or IDEAS. Lawrence, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi.
So do you think these patterns would replicate pretty much anywhere in the world, or are there different factors that affect social and economic mobility among different neighbourhoods?
Well, I mean, in general terms, the pattern is pretty ubiquitous, that you see sort of increased concentration of economic opportunity and advantage in the cities, and then that is much more, produced in the rural setting. But I think, there are a range of factors that can, exaggerate that disparity. So, of course, I heard you mentioning a few of these things before the break. Of course, sort of physical infrastructure is a key issue, but also the kind of absolute difference in terms of the level of economic development that you have in the city vis-a-vis in the countryside, in the rural economy. And I think that's, particularly a factor in Malaysia, where the gap between, say, KL and certain rural areas is probably greater than you see, say, in Europe, where the gap between Paris and bits of France is kind of, in general, probably closer. So I think in broad terms, you see these sort of two categories of factors. So one is sort of hard questions of physical infrastructure. So that will be transport. But also things like broadband connections, access to education in the rural environment. And then the second is sort of cultural and economic factors. So the extent to which opportunities are concentrated in the urban environment, and the sort of absolute levels of economic development. So although it's a general pattern, the flavor from country to country might shift depending on these issues.
And what is the impact from these inequalities between the urban and rural areas?
Well, I mean, it will be a significant driver of the overall level of inequality within the country. I think, given the concentration of economic opportunities in cities and how the advantages and disadvantages accumulate over time, depending on the family you're born into and the opportunities you have access to, that those factors are going to kind of build over time to kind of contribute to the overall levels of inequality. I think, an interesting example that I, was looking at recently was another study from the UK, which was looking at certain sort of cultural coding that occurs. Mm-hmm. So, for example, what the study did is it looked at graduates from working class and middle class backgrounds in the UK and looked at their employment outcomes for the same level of education. So two guys that have gone to the same university and got the same level of degree, but those from the middle class background still performed better. And the researchers attribute this to certain codes that get built up. So certain habits of behavior, soft skills, even presentational things like what you wear, your accent, how you dress, that get sort of positively coded, and those biases get built in. Now, those things are much easier to acquire if you grow up in the urban setting, in the environment where the jobs are, and you can kind of pick up on those soft skills and develop those behavioral patterns. So, although, yes, kind of transport infrastructure and access to education, these big physical factors are very important, there are also subtle ways in which the urban-rural divide can be exacerbated.
So what do these findings that we've been talking about, what do they mean for efforts to close socioeconomic gaps?
Well, I think it opens up a range of policy discussions. So I think the first question is, how do you improve access to the city, which of course becomes a discussion about how do you improve transport infrastructure, so access to the city from a sort of commuter perspective, but also engages the issue of housing, which is about kind of improving the capacity of the cities. I know that you're familiar with our fellow Dr. Carmelo, who is and looking at the issue of the housing regulations and whether there's any way that they can be amended to kind of facilitate greater construction of affordable housing within the city limits. But then I think the next set of policy questions arises around sort of how do you kind of level the playing field and close the gap between the city and the rural economy. of course, the key part of that is education, but you've also got to look at how you develop the rural economy. You know, a crucial area is agriculture. We did a study last year that looked at subsidies in the agricultural sector and found that the way subsidies were constructed were actually, over the long term, holding back kind of productivity growth, which ultimately holds back income. So you have to take a very strategic view of how to develop the rural economy to try and close that gap between the city and the countryside. But, you know, I would also just say that, you know, I think the gravity and the network effect that these capital cities exert within economies is a very powerful force and one that kind of policy can't unlock. And ultimately, I think, you know, Malaysia needs to have a discussion about what is an acceptable level of inequality. I mean, there are those that advocate that inequality is okay as long as you have genuine mobility, socioeconomic mobility. And I think there are real barriers to achieving that socioeconomic mobility in Malaysia. There are then others who advocate that, you know, we need to kind of actively reduce the level of inequality and look at redistribution to achieve that, in which case, you know, we need to develop welfare institutions that are transparent and effective in Malaysia and have a broader tax base. So I think, you know, the rural-urban divide plays into this broader conversation we're sort of in the foothills of in Malaysia, I think, which is, you know, what level of inequality are we comfortable with and what actions do we want to take to address it? And all the choices on that road, you know, have obstacles that we need to tackle.
And going back to that point about the urban-rural divide, in Malaysia, we're also seeing many young people moving out of rural areas into cities. What's the impact of having having aging rural populations?
Well, I think it's understandable that the young people are going to seek the kind of economic opportunities in the city, and I think that's, you know, probably the right choice on their part. I think, you know, in the short term, it's going to exacerbate the divide because many of those older people are not going to be so sort of actively engaged in the economy. But I think, on the other hand, it's not necessarily an unworkable model. I just think it then depends on, you know, a broader question about how we deal with those of older age in our society. You know, do we want to develop a broad welfare system that looks after people in their old age? Do we want to promote insurance and savings, you know, which are pretty poor in Malaysia? Or do we want to kind of prioritize a more sort of cultural response whereby people and communities look after the older members of their families? So for me, I think that question sort of will exacerbate the urban-rural divide, but it actually becomes a broader question about how we deal with older people in our society.
Will cities always be seen as areas that are built specifically to provide economic opportunities? Because it has contributed to the different development levels of cities and rural or suburban areas.
Yeah, I mean, I think that cities are always going to be these sort of magnets for economic opportunity. And I think that's because of the network effect that occurs when you have that many people engaged in kind of constant economic interactions. So I think in that sense, you know, cities are going to be a feature of our economy and indeed all economies, for the foreseeable future. So I think the question is then about, you know, how do we manage the challenges that arise from that? And, you know, coming back to those three questions of how do you ensure there's access for all in the opportunities that are in the city? How do you close the gap to the extent that you can between the city and the rural economy? And then accepting that there always is going to be some form of gap, you know, what's your wider answer to inequality, whether that's ensuring that there's mobility or protecting those that are at the bottom or a bit of both? So I think this is going to be a sort of permanent feature of, you know, economic policy going forward. So it's certainly one that we need to kind of continue to address.
Lawrence, thanks so much for those insights.
Thank you.
That was Lawrence Todd, Director of Research and Development at IDEAS. We were talking about the economic benefits of living in a city. You can let us know your thoughts on this. 7733 2900 is the number to call. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.